And Thunder out west play in OKC. No Luka Doncic for LA. Jalen Williams ruled out for the Thunder. Green Bay Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst told SiriusXM that they expect Micah Parsons and tight end Tucker Kraft to be available early in the 2026 season. Both players are coming back from torn ACLs. The Seahawks and free agent defensive end Dexter Fowler Jr. have agreed to terms on a one-year deal worth about $5 million. Giants and veteran defensive tackle DJ Reader agreeing on a two-year deal worth about $12 million for him to play in the Big Apple. And all criminal charges against Titans corner Legarius Sneed have been dropped, according to his attorney. This stemming from an alleged shooting incident in 2024 involving his assistant. Two-time PGA champion Phil Mickelson will not play in next week's major at Aronimink because of his ongoing family matter.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, the House of Representatives passed the 2026 Farm Bill called the Farm, Food, and National Security Act, and ag groups are expressing their appreciation. The National Pork Producers says the bill included 100% of the group's policy requests, including a fix for California's Prop 12. National Association of State Departments of Agriculture CEO Ted McKinney says the legislation supports farmers, ranchers, and consumers and provides economic growth for rural communities. A University of Illinois analysis shows the Middle East ceasefire has helped lower crude oil prices, but U.S. farmers are still facing sharply higher nitrogen fertilizer costs due to shipping disruptions. Ag economist Gerald Mashanji says fertilizer markets have not followed the recent decline in oil prices because traffic through the Strait of Hormuz remains well below pre-conflict levels. Higher insurance costs and continued risks have discouraged many ship owners from resuming normal routes. And new efforts by the Trump administration to impose import tariffs are drawing concern across the ag industry, where producers fear another round of retaliatory trade measures could weaken export demand. Farm groups are closely watching developments because previous tariff disputes led to reduced overseas purchases of soybeans, pork, and grains. Analysts say renewed trade friction could come at a difficult time for farmers already dealing with lower commodity prices and elevated production costs.
The world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale is back for the 75th anniversary Western Experience of a Lifetime. Join us May 14th through the 17th in Miles City, Montana. From the finest bucking stock to electrifying horse racing, this event has it all. And don't miss out on the Pendleton Whiskey Kickoff Concert featuring Trace Atkins and special guests Court Blund and Kenny Fiedler. Mark your calendars for the world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive. Get your tickets at buckinghorsesale.com.
Horn flies can take a bite out of your cattle's performance. These pests feed on cattle up to 30 times a day, stressing animals and cutting into profits. Fight back. SmartLick Supplement's low moisture blocks, available with Altacid or Clarify, help break the horn fly life cycle. Less fly pressure means cattle can spend more time grazing and growing. Take control of fly problems this season. Visit SmartLick.com. That's SmartLIC.com to find your dealer.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are higher in afternoon trading, led by tech, with the tech-heavy Nasdaq hitting an all-time intraday high. In the meantime, oil prices are pulling back as investors monitor the latest developments in the Middle East. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors are higher. Tech, the best performer. The Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks are mixed, with Amazon and Alphabet hitting all-time highs, and shares of Google parent Alphabet are up 0.5% and on the verge of overtaking Nvidia as the world's most valuable company as a result of its record stock rally fueled by its artificial intelligence efforts and booming cloud business. And shares of Anheuser-Busch InBev are up nearly 8% after the beer giant reported a turnaround in its beer sales in recent months after a nearly three-year slump. The company makes Budweiser, Stella Artois, and Corona beer. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hilary Barsky, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you, would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
A new kind of federal regulation is increasing prices to the consumer and destroying small business. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Murray Wiedenbaum is a former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, now Director of the Center for the Study of American Business at Washington University of St. Louis. In a recent speech in our nation's capital, Dr. Wiedenbaum had bad news for all Americans. A new wave of American regulation threatens to raise prices indiscriminately and drive small businesses into the ground. This new wave of regulation includes such agencies as the Environmental Protection Agency, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. All of these agencies were set up to accomplish laudable goals. Who among us would object to protecting the environment, preventing discrimination, or improving safety conditions for our workers? Indeed, who among us is not in support of such goals? Unfortunately, however, these agencies are so devoted to these particular goals, they pay little heed to what they do to the efficiency of business or to keeping prices low. The forest of a healthy economy, high employment, and low prices is lost for the tree of, say, worker safety. Now, of course, we want safe working conditions, but an agency like OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, is thus all too likely to pursue its mandate to the ultimate. You can make a worker completely safe by taking away his job, and the safest factory or mill is one that's closed down. I'm really not exaggerating. There are now 5,146 different types of approved government forms. Last year, businesses and individuals spent 130 million man-hours filling them out. And this adds some $50 billion to the cost of doing business, which means to the prices we pay. Consider instead a small businessman who must provide an OSHA-approved exit in his office or plant. What is an exit? The dictionary says it is, quote, a passage or way out, unquote. Now, you have to admit those five words describe it for anyone who understands English. But the language of bureaucracy is not that precise. Here is the way the OSHA manual defines an exit. Quote, that portion of a means of egress which is separated from all other spaces of the building or structure by construction or equipment as required in this subpart to provide a protected way of travel to the exit discharge. Unquote. Now, that's 39 words, but OSHA says, to grasp that definition, you have to know the definition of a means of egress. And so their glossary supplies the answer. Quote, a continuous and unobstructed way of exit travel from any point in a building or structure to a public way and consists of three separate and distinct parts, the way of exit access, the exit, and the way of exit discharge. A means of egress comprises the vertical and horizontal ways of travel and should include intervening room spaces, doorways, hallways, corridors, passageways, balconies, ramps, stairs, enclosures, exits, escalators, horizontal exits, courts, and yards. Unquote. quote. And after all that, the small businessman realizes that he still doesn't know what an exit is because, as Dr. Wiedenbaum points out, OSHA's been unable to supply a definition of exit that doesn't contain the word exit. Webster uses 5 words, OSHA uses 39, and then another 74 trying to tell you what the 39 said. I'll be back tomorrow with more on the new wave of regulation. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday and it's Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo. This is Barry Fisher and this is Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore our current events, history, communities, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We have two great guests today, and again, we're having some issues here with our first guest again. She tried a couple weeks ago and couldn't get into our phone lines, and looks like we're having the same issue here today, but hopefully we're going to get Megan Barth on the line here pretty quick. She's the executive editor of the California Globe. We're going to talk about a little bit about a big win for the Central Coast property owners against the California Coastal Commission. It was a big case that was just decided by the California Supreme Court in favor of property owners in the Central Coast. And then we're going to talk about more waste, fraud, and abuse as California burdens its citizens with more taxes and bad policy. And then, unfortunately, the dark cloud of socialism continues to descend upon California. In Los Angeles, one of the leading candidates for mayor is a democratic socialist akin to Zoran Mondavi of New York City. So, hang on. I think we got Megan here. Megan, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Well, thank you so much. Good to be with you.
We finally got you through on the phone here. That's great. All right. I just kind of introduced you, but let me keep going here, and then I'll come back to you in a second, okay? Folks, okay. At 1 o'clock, we've got Lorelei Capel. She is the Atascadero Economic Development Manager. We're going to be talking about the Atascadero's impressive development renaissance over the last 5 years, how fiscal conservatism, lean government, and balance lead to success, and then past accomplishments and new projects that we can expect to see in the Atascadero area. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Megan, we got you on the line, and I didn't have a chance to let you properly introduce yourself when you called it a couple of weeks ago because of our telephone issues. So tell us a little bit about your background in journalism. You're really busy. I can tell from all your writing.
I am very busy, and thank you very much for having me back on. I started in the press around 2009, it was about 2007, 2008, and started covering the Obama administration, specifically Obamacare, became quite an activist, I guess, against Obamacare. So, you know, as a journalist, I do have an opinion, but my writing is relatively objective, meaning I try to provide both sides of the issue so my readers can make their own determination. And I also provide, you know, a lot of facts and a lot of data because math doesn't lie, politicians lie. That's what I've always said. So, you know, math is definitely not my strong suit as a creative journalist, but I do tend to read a lot of data in this field and find it very helpful. I can break down data pretty succinctly and take complex, maybe litigation, and break it down simply. I've been kind of touted as that type of person. I've I've worked as an investigative reporter and did a lot of undercover work, especially during the pandemic, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I was, quote unquote, an essential employee, but no one asked me ever for proof that I was essential. So that kind of framed my opinion about the whole my experience during the pandemic. But nonetheless, I love to investigate. I love to ask questions. I love to dig into data, dig into lawsuits, and then provide, you know, that knowledge to my readers so they can make an informed decision.
And you've had some really great interviews with President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. What were your thoughts? I mean, what was your takeaway from those interviews?
Well, I was actually called by the Trump campaign a couple years ago, and I was the first Nevada reporter that he interviewed with and they spoke with. And so I was very honored that the campaign reached out to me directly. It was actually on July 3rd, and I was on the beach. I got this call, and I'm like, what's this number, you know? And so that was quite an honor, and I was able to sit down with him. I think it was in the following August at the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. And, you know, our 12-minute interview turned into a half an hour, and then he invited me to kind of follow him around for the rest of the day. And so I got a firsthand look and experience with the President of the United States then campaigning for his second term, or third, if you will. But, you know, I was completely blown away, I guess, by his humility. You know, he doesn't really come off as humble on social media, but in person, he comes across as a very humble person. I've been around a lot of very powerful people in my profession, specifically politicians, and they have this air about them. And, you know, and maybe it's earned because, you know, I'm a member of the press and they tend to be very guarded. Donald Trump was not guarded at all. He was open. And many politicians want me to ask certain questions, and they'll give me the questions, and I always say, no, I'm not doing that, so find another reporter that will be your stenographer. That's not my job.
Right.
My job is to hold power to account. And the Trump campaign at the time did not ask for scripted questions. They didn't ask me what I was going to cover. It was completely off the cuff. The same with J.D. Vance. I had interviewed him at a rally that he had in Reno, and I was part of the press scrum, and, you know, they gave me about 10 minutes. There was a lot of press there. But again, very humble, very easy to talk to, very engaging, and was open, just open to whatever question I would ask. And that, as a reporter, is important to me. Like I said, I'm not a stenographer. I'm here to hold power to account and ask some tough questions.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. The big question I have, and we probably don't have time to get into it today, but, you know, how he's going to get us out of this Iran situation, because it's really, I think, you know, holding back the prospects for the Republican Party in the next cycle, you know, this next midterm cycle. Very concerned about that.
And I don't disagree.
Yeah,
I don't disagree with you. I was just talking about that on a prior, just right before I got on with you. I was on another radio show out of Las Vegas. And I said, you know, he needs to wrap this up pretty quickly and get the Strait of Hormuz open. And, you know, he took a huge risk. President Trump, one of the first presidents in 47 years to take this type of risk. Instead of funding Iran like Obama did, instead of sending them pallets of cash, instead of trying to achieve peace through appeasement, which obviously was a massive failure for nearly 50 years. President Trump took the ultimate risk and is trying to achieve peace through strength. What I find very interesting, and was very surprised that the UAE got behind President Trump and his mission, whereby many of the countries in NATO did not, including Italy, including Germany, including England. That tells you all you need to know about NATO. So, you know, the appeasement era of, you know, the Obama administration, the Bush administration, and other administrations is obviously over. This risk that President Trump took, we're now in about, what, nearly 60 days of this conflict.
Yeah.
I was just driving around this weekend, and I live in Reno, and we have a gas tax, of course, state gas tax, And we are 90% reliant on oil from California. So even before the Iran war broke out, our gas prices were surging because your refineries were closing down. Mm-hmm. And we were well above $4 a gallon. Now we are above $5 a yep. gallon, and I've even seen above $6 a gallon in more of the mountainous areas of Reno and Tahoe. So, you know, this is what people, if these gas prices remain inflated, these energy prices remain inflated, the GOP is going to have a very hard time this midterm. If we can get the Strait of Hormuz open and ships running and tankers running and getting oil to our shores and opening up, of course, the pipelines here and becoming more energy independent, you know, if we can do that between now and the midterms, the GOP has a stronger chance of success.
Yeah, we're painfully aware. I mean, I paid, I think, $6.20 a gallon for regular somewhere the other day, and I'm very pleased. I get Edward Ring to come on for about a quarterly to talk about who writes, of course, for the California Globe, and he talks about this refinery situation all the time, that we've been, you know, cutting off our nose despite our face here in California for so long, and it's not getting any better. We have you have a target rich environment here in California to investigate, so.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny. I started working for the California Globe after the Nevada Globe, and I've worked with Katie Grimes for about 20 years. But I've only been covering California extensively since last August or September, and I could literally write a nonstop, never-ending investigative report on the fraud, corruption, and graft in California. But with that said, I was surprised to learn that back in the 1980s, prior to when I arrived in California, I didn't arrive in California until 96 and moved to Nevada in 2015, but you had over 40 refineries in California in the 1980s. Now you guys are under 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the last 30 years, you guys have been dominated by single-party control. Democrats have dominated, you know, your political sphere in all aspects of government, including the, you know, California Air Resources Board and all of these regulatory agencies that are basically accountable to no one. They have completely destroyed your refining capability. So you went from over 40 refineries in the 1980s to now less than 10. And, of course, your gas prices are going to go up if you're not refining the oil that you have in your backyard.
Yep, it's a big problem. I want to touch on a few of the articles you've written in the last few weeks, because one in particular has some local significance here, where the California Supreme Court reined in the Coastal Commission regarding private property here in the Central Coast. Do you have some comments on this one? I mean, this was really a big win for private property rights, wasn't it?
It really was, and I wrote about this as soon as the decision was handed down. There was a lawsuit that, let me just grab it here because I want to make sure I'm, it was led by the...
Pacific Legal.
Yes, thank you. The Pacific Legal Foundation, and it was a unanimous decision hailed as one of the most significant checks on the California Coastal Commission's power in nearly 40 years. The Supreme Court unanimously ruled that the agency unlawfully overrode a county-approved building permit for a home builder in San Luis Obispo County. That home builder was called Shear Development. The lawsuit was Shear Development versus California Coastal Commission, and the unanimous decision affirmed that the unelected California Coastal Commission can't simply second-guess local governments' interpretations for their own, you know, zoning programs or local coastal programs, nor can they invent new jurisdictional claims based on non-binding illustrations that are found in county plans. So the California Coastal Commission has been notorious to put politics before policy and politics before the law. And when the Supreme Court of California, which I have to assume is not conservative.
Good assumption.
When the Supreme Court of California comes down on the California Commission in a unanimous decision against them, it shows you just how out of touch the California Coastal Commission is.
Well, and again, I mean, one of the things that everybody talks about weekly here in this, everywhere in California, but particularly here in the Central Coast, is the need for affordable housing. And people just can't build anything anymore here because of the NIMBY kind of attitude that our local and state government has towards people who want to build a home. You know, that's not stack and pack. Stack and pack is great, but if you want to have a piece of land and build a house, it becomes a pricey challenge to get it done. So, yeah,
the cost of regulations are absurd.
Yep.
I mean, it adds tens of thousands of dollars to a single home, but when you're talking about a multi-family development, it's millions of dollars.
Right. Absolutely. And the big problem, you just published, I'm going to throw this one at you because you just published this morning regarding the Sacramento Democrats pass a bill to shield the high-speed rail failures from the public. Tell the listeners about this, because this is such a cabal of Democrat control in this state, and this is just a perfect example of what they're doing. Why don't you touch on this one here?
Oh, yeah, this one blew my mind. So I guess it's AB 1608 that
right.
was passed
yep.
by the Assembly Democrats. It was passed late last night. I caught a tweet about it and dug into it, and wouldn't you know it, you know, this whole high-speed rail project started as $33.5 billion. It is now estimated to go to $231 billion. That's a 700% increase, and yet you guys have no tracks to show for it. No trains running, no tracks. So instead of, like, looking into where all this money is going, where it's gone, why there are no tracks, why there are no trains, a Democrat assemblywoman by the name of Lori Wilson, who is in Sun City, if that's correct.
Yeah, Sweeson, yeah.
Sweeson City?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
She authored a bill to create broad exemptions to withhold audit records.
Right.
So if we wanted to, as a journalist or as a person of the public in California like you or anybody else, wanted to get certain records about the spending, about the project, about the high-speed rail, you couldn't. Because now, those documents, many of them, will be protected by this bill.
Do we know how much money have they spent so far? Do we know that? And what have they spent it on? Is there any? Do you have any clue where this has gone so far?
You know, I wish I did. There is, you know, and also, oh, by the way, instead of going from... somewhere in the Central Coast, I believe, northern LA, all the way up to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Now the tracks have been cut in length, meaning you're not going to go to San Francisco anymore. You're going to go from, like, Merced to just a couple hundred miles north.
Yeah, Bakersfield to Merced like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so now that even though the costs have ballooned by 700%, the tracks have gotten shorter. So instead of creating a bill to create more transparency, because it's already under so much opaque, you know, language, and there's not a lot available to the public, now Ms. Wilson, Assemblywoman Wilson, wants to hide all of that information. So I wish I did have some hard numbers on how much has already been spent. But it looks like over $100 million has already been, I'm talking in millions. This is billions.
Yes.
Billions. $231 billion. So we know at least $100 billion has already been spent, because now they need $231 billion.
Yeah. The last time I looked into this, I think a lot of the money has been spent on purchasing rights of ways and things like that. But nothing, no track has been built whatsoever. Hey, Megan, I'm going to put you on hold for just a minute through the break, and we'll be back. And I'd love to chat with you about what's going on in my hometown of Los Angeles with the mayor's race. It's getting pretty interesting. So stand by. And folks, we will be right back in about 2 minutes, so please stay with us.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Megan Barth, executive investigative reporter and executive editor of the California Globe. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775-238-KPRL. Well, so I'm a native of Los Angeles, Megan, and I spent some wonderful years there. I don't go there anymore. It's become such a hellhole. And now I'm watching the mayor's race, and I know you've done some writing about this and looking into this. You've got a failed Karen Bass who, you know, in most parlance would be considered a socialist, but then you've got a real democratic socialist running against her who's surging in the polls. And then you've got, I don't even know who this guy is, Spencer Pratt, who's a Republican, whose house burned down and the Palisades fired. He's living in a trailer. And he's also in the mix. Can you unpack with us what's going on in L.A. and the mayor's race and what you think's going to happen?
Sure. Spencer Pratt has not declared that he's a Republican. He's actually been campaigning as an independent.
Okay.
And the mayoral race, which I understand is a nonpartisan office.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is, yes.
Yeah, and so what I always do in nonpartisan races, including judges, is I always look at who's supporting them and where they're getting their money, and that will tell you exactly how they lean. But Nithia, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but she's running under the Democrat Socialists of America ticket. Karen Bass trained with the armed guerrillas down in Cuba with the communist regime, so I think we can pretty much safely say that she identifies as a Marxist or a communist or a socialist. They're all one and the same, basically. So you basically have two socialist Marxists running, and then you have Spencer Pratt, who is an independent. And he doesn't necessarily have these Republican ideas. He doesn't wade into the social issues. He's simply focused on the waste, abuse, and fraud in the L.A. area, and how, under their leadership, both Bass's and Nithia's leadership, how L.A. has literally spiraled downward into a homelessness haven filled with tents, filled with human feces, filled with crime, filled with fires. And as you said, he lost his home and his family lost his home in the Palisades. He grew up in the Palisades, born and raised. And he has seen, especially after he started a family, just how dangerous the streets of L.A. has become. His message is resonating. He went from a reality TV star to an activist virtually overnight and has gained national recognition for his tenacity as well as his message. He has been producing low-cost social media commercials that are going viral, tens of millions of views. He is eliciting support from very wealthy, formerly Democrat donors who realize that perhaps voting the same way time and time again is the definition of insanity, especially when nothing is getting better. So he's got some legs under his campaign, and you can tell that he has legs under his campaign because of the reaction from Karen Bass and because of the reaction by Democrats. They initially thought that he was just kind of a nobody with no chance. Now he's actually gaining in the polls. When Karen Bass is only polling at 25%, that shows you there's a problem. And the problem is that the people who live and work in L.A. are tired of living in fear. They are tired of living amongst drugged out zombies as they're walking their children to school. They are tired of the potholes. They are tired. You know, I left L.A. because the more money I spent, the potholes got bigger. And I always thought my tax dollars were supposed to go to infrastructure. Obviously, my tax dollars were going to everything but infrastructure. And since 2015, that problem has compounded to the point where I don't recognize L.A. anymore, just like you.
Yeah.
So Spencer Pratt should not be discounted. He should be taken seriously, and he is being taken seriously by the incumbents.
Well, and in the meantime, you wrote on April 30th in the Globe that the L.A. City Council socialists are trying to make it so that non-citizens can have full voting rights in local elections. And they tried to do that. Didn't they try to do that in San Francisco, too?
Yes, and it was struck down.
Was it? So, I mean, is this going to get some legs here in L.A. before the mayor's election, or is it just something that you think is not going to happen?
Well, you know, I never
try to never say never, huh?
I never say never because, look, back in 2015 when I got the heck out of California, the other reason was because I opened up the Sacramento Bee and the headline was Bill Stalls in Sacramento allowing illegal aliens the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I closed my computer and I said, you know what? They're not only taking away my money, they're taking away my voice now. My voice is going to be displaced by a non-citizen who should not have the right to, one, be here, and two, vote. So it's always been the Democratic plan to allow non-citizens to vote. And honestly, they can't tell us that they're not voting because the only safeguard, which is a very weak safeguard, that Californians and Nevadans have is a simple box that says, are you a citizen, yes or no? If no, then you can't fill out this form. Well, if you're already dealing with somebody who lied to get into the country, do you really think they're going to be honest on a voter registration form?
Right. Absolutely. You know, we've got about 30 seconds left before we go to the break. Best way to follow you is at the California Globe, right? Is that
California Globe. CaliforniaGlobe.com, at California Globe on X.
And I just discovered you've got a whole thing where you'll email people weekly summaries of articles.
Yes.
And I just subscribed to that myself.
Real
quickly, anything you're working on that you can preview for us that we should be watching for? Any topics or stories?
Well, I just published one today about the Save America Act.
Okay.
It's specific to Nevada.
Okay.
California, I've got something in the hopper, but I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
Okay. Well, you know what? Well, that'll give me a good reason to get you back on. Megan, thank you so much for taking the time again, and say hi to Katie for me, okay? Thank you so much.
Will do.
All right.
Thank you.
Folks, we'll be back on the other side of the break after Paul Harvey and with Lorelei Capel, who is the Economic Development Director for Atascadero. So stand by.
next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.